Well, economist Matt Roskridge is with us as we look at the state of New Zealand's economy, with a particular focus on rising unemployment and what it means for whānau and communities. And we'll also look at the especially high rates of unemployment among our rangatahi, who are driving those numbers, and what needs to happen to improve opportunities for them. Thanks again for joining us on the program, Chief. Tēnā koe, Matt.
Yeah, morena, Dale. Thanks for having me again.
Tēnā koe. How would you describe the state of our economy as we speak, before we get underway with unemployment figures, Matt?
Oh, look, it's pretty grim out there. People are, the unemployment rate ticked up a little bit higher than expected at 5.6, but for Māori, we're looking at nearly 12% unemployment rate. That's on top of lower labour force participation. That's on top of something like one in four Māori in the workforce aren't getting enough hours or aren't getting the number of hours they want to be able to work. I mean, it's a really, really tough labour market out there at the moment, and you put a cost of living crisis on top of that. Things aren't looking too great out there for most households.
Yeah, I have to agree. So what is that resulting in for those people, the one in four that you say can't find full-time employment? When we look at the indexes of child poverty and household income, quite obviously this is where it sits. What's the fate of those who find themselves in this position?
Yeah, I mean, historically, over the last few years, people have been going to Aussie, right? Like, that's kind of been the, if things really get tough in Aotearoa, there was an option. But things are getting tough in Australia as well, from what I'm hearing, and it sounds like there's a little bit of, even that option of, being able to just go across and get good jobs is starting to look a little bit more difficult. So a lot of the strategies that whānau have been using aren't working as well as they used to. We're going to, I think, see people, we've already got kids moving back home. You might see more households looking at ways of sharing household costs. So maybe, moving Nan back in with you for a little while, or it's incredibly tough, and the strategies that we've had to use for a while now, and it's starting to feel like we're running a little bit low on options. And that's why, I was thinking coming on here and talking to you today, we've talked about unemployment and the cost of living a lot, and that problem hasn't gone away. It just seems to keep getting tougher out there for whānau. We're looking at from the, COVID, Ukraine war, Middle East war, none of that's helped with prices. And at the same time, domestically, it doesn't feel like anybody's really pitching a vision or a solution to the economic and increasingly, I think, social woes that we're starting to feel out there in the economy at the moment.
Should we not be doing something to encourage entrepreneurship? If the jobs aren't there, normally you'd go and work for an organisation, but if they aren't hiring, then either you sit on the benefit or else you try and hustle a little bit for yourself. But even that is problematic, because last I heard you could make about $60 a week over that, and it was quite significant tax. Whilst there is high unemployment, should we not consider options like extending the amount that people could earn before that tax is implied? You'd know more than me, mate. You're the economist. But
yeah, no, I mean, it's great to have my, and that's a good idea. Finding ways of making it easier for people to take a risk, take a chance, build that e-commerce platform, or start that new business delivering things, flowers, or whatever it is that they're into. You're absolutely right. Finding ways, even if they're just short-term, finding ways saying, okay, look, we know whānau are doing it tough. We want to help people to, look to create their own employment. Or some people that are pulling together three, four jobs to make a living and paying secondary tax on some of that. Finding ways of reducing the costs for people who are in the lower income brackets of trying new things, trying to find ways of getting out of the traps that they're finding themselves in. And that's the thing, many imagine at the moment, everybody's using Afterpay, credit cards to try and bridge the gap between what they're earning and what it's costing to live. That debt adds up, and for some people there might be debt that they're servicing for the next 10 years of their life, you know, or longer. And that slows them down being able to build the deposit on the house. It makes their credit score a little bit rougher. So we really do need to find ways of getting people out of the traps that they may have found themselves in.
Yeah.
With the economy the way it is.
Surely the economic doldrums, indicative of that too, might be house affordability. Now, we know that it's a buyer's market, but also a little unsure as well with the geopolitical situation in the Middle East, Strait of Hormuz, etc. Can we talk for a moment about interest rates, where you think they, or where do they currently sit? What would be the average floating rate at the moment? Where do you think it's heading?
Well, I mean, they'll probably creep up slowly. I mean, it's so hard to know because the Reserve Bank is doing that really. I mean, we talked, a little while ago, you and I had a good conversation about stagflation, and that's where the economy's stagnant, but you've got inflation ticking along, and it's really hard for the government because no matter what they do, they make one or the other worse. They either make the economy worse by raising interest rates, or they make inflation worse by keeping interest rates low. And we're not there yet, but we're looking in that similar sort of trap where there isn't an easy policy move with interest rates that's going to solve every problem. I think that at the moment, anyway, they're more worried about the economy than they are about inflation. And they're likely to, maybe the interest rates will tick up a little bit, but I don't think they're going to go far.
Thanks very much. I saw an interesting press release yesterday, and that was to do with, I think it was about five Māori entities, tribal entities, business arms, that have combined to buy Cardinal, the logistics company, which is a significant player, it would seem.
Yeah.
And while that seemed encouraging, I don't think that the purchase price was disclosed. Matt, you might have some inside oil. But Cardinal operates, well, one of the biggest sites, you can't miss it, is in Drury, just south of Auckland. It's the most massive warehouse. I tend to believe almost fully automated. So while our people are investing in hopefully what will be a significant logistics organisation and will turn a quid, it doesn't appear to be driven by providing or creating jobs for our people. Are you aware of that sale and what that might mean? What sort of messages it sends about Māori money?
Little bits and pieces, but you're raising a couple of really interesting points. I mean, one is, it's ghoulish to talk about, given how hard Whānau are doing it, but, I mean, it is an opportunity for the Māori economy or Māori entities that are sitting on cash or able to raise cash to pick up some assets at a good price at the moment, right? So there is certainly opportunity where there's pain. A lot of people made a lot of money off the financial crisis, while other people lost everything. But there are certainly Māori entities in a position, as we like the deal we just talked about, to grow their portfolio at a time where it's relatively cheap to do so and be in a good position going forwards. But you're right, we need to, I think, have more conversations about what we want our Māori entities to be doing, settlement governance entities, groups like that. What do we want the investment to do? Do we just want money goes into, okay, yep, keep increasing the pot for future generations, but also make sure that some of that money comes out to improve our well-being, health, social objectives, get our kids into education, scholarships. So it's just getting that balancing act. That particular sale makes sense for all sorts of reasons, but you're right, one of the considerations I think needs to be, is this creating good jobs for our whānau? Is it creating the sort of jobs that our whānau say they want? Because I do hear too about some Māori organisations that set up these, great buy businesses or set up businesses with jobs, but they're not the jobs that their whānau are really looking for, and so then it sort of becomes, the jobs end up being filled by non-Māori, and it never kind of hits the objectives that were out there. So it's knowing your rangatahi, knowing your people, and knowing what they want to do.
Yeah, well, plenty of people could benefit from warehousing skills, forklifts and the like, but this seems to be a very sophisticated, fully automated logistics company. And in a sense, I guess, sort of plays into the hand of those who suggest we're creating a sort of a suited up Māori elite. These sorts of purchases and discussions behind them fly somewhat under the radar. I suppose in a strange way we're encouraged that we're playing ball with the big boys, but even so, when we look at the high youth unemployment rates and Māori unemployment rates, maybe there are kaupapa that might have done better with the investment. It does suggest, though, that there is tribal money when pooled that can be major players in New Zealand's business sector and infrastructure. Where do you think might be some other opportunities for this sort of collaboration as the country looks towards more significant infrastructural investment, Matt?
Yeah, it's a tough one. If I knew the answer, I'd be up making my money. But I think there's certainly industries where you need a supply chain. I'm trying to think of a good example. So we talk about bananas up in Northland, right? But to growing bananas is one thing. Then you got to get them to a pack house, get them graded and sorted, keep them chilled, and get them down to Auckland to market. So you need that supply chain, and it's hard for any one organisation to pull their money to get those supply chains together, even though they're lucrative. So maybe one of the things for Māori is looking back at, what are we producing? Who currently owns the supply chains, and care, or are there places where those supply chains don't exist anymore? And we can rebuild them and get the money back into the whenua that's been lost. So there might be things like where they've closed meat processing plants, or they're looking at shutting down meat processing plants, picking up those so that you're able to process animals from off the farms. Things like that. We are trying to keep, so we've got industries that we're very good at. When are we adding enough value to those industries? And are there things that we can pull our money together, build or buy the value add part, and start to pick up a bit of that puti as well?
Tēnā koe. It's going to be another tough year ahead, irrespective of the outcome of the election. Are we part of an economic cycle that ultimately we will emerge from, the difficulties, that is, but it could still be some way off from your read, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I really thought that the coalition government had some sort of magical plan to bring economic good news out before the election. I wasn't entirely sure what I was expecting, but I thought that maybe they were sort of trying to create some bad headlines in the last couple of years so that they can undo them and create good headlines this year. But we're really we're not seeing any good economic news coming out at all. It's feeling really rough going into an election. And I mean, a lot of the problems that we're facing, like Māori unemployment, that's been around for decades, twice the rate of non-Māori. No political party yet has really put forward a serious suggestion for how they're going to address those issues. And so, well, there are lots of reasons to be disappointed or concerned about some of the things we've seen from the coalition government around the economy. I think we're looking to see a vision or an idea or a political strategy for getting us out of these problems. Not just pointing out how bad things are or how bad the other team made it, but okay, how are you going to fix it beyond a slogan?
Well, we know it's tough times, and thank you. We'll be leaning in on you a little as we move towards November the 7th. It's a difficult environment, but I do note that first-home buyers are actually moving into the market in numbers that we haven't seen for some time. So I guess while the buying price is good for them, sellers not so. And I guess we're sort of in limbo land at the moment as to where this interest rate is going to leave those first home buyers, whether we've seen the peak of it or whether there's still more pain ahead.
Yeah, I think it still is tough for first home buyers. When you think of a first home being 600, maybe you get a cheap one at 500,000. It's still, that's a huge amount of money and deposit to come up with. And I feel like that a lot of the the price fall has been sort of more in the mid-range of the property market, if you know what I mean. So it's a lot of those suburban four-bedroom dwellings that seem to be quite flat, whereas we're not seeing a whole lot of really built to be affordable first homes coming on that people there is a bit of an increase out at the south of Auckland, but still pretty tough out there for first home buyers. I wouldn't like to be in that market.
Good talking with you. Thanks again, man, for your thoughts. And if you know of anywhere with a $500,000 house, you better let us all know, because there's nothing like that up here in Auckland. They'll give you the tip.
I think we might be heading out to Tolmanui.
Good on you, Matt. Thanks very much, man. Look forward to talking with you again soon. Ka pai, yummy.
See you. Thanks.